Well, Manny said this, Declan Kearney, joining me now. Morning to you, Declan.
Good morning, Stephen. Hello, Alan. Hello, Barney.
Good morning.
Why have you said this?
The remarks that I made at the weekend?
Yeah, about the Shankill bombing.
I said them out of respect for the fact that I was sharing a platform with Alan himself. And the issue we were addressing was uncomfortable conversations and dealing with the legacy of our political conflict.
So let me hear from you this morning again. What is your exact view, your precise view on the Shankill bombing?
I explained it very clearly at the weekend, because I made the point that as a Republican leader, though I will assert that a political context created the conditions which forced the use of armed struggle as a last resort in the North, that can't disguise the massive human hurt which has been caused by IRA actions. And on that basis, therefore, and out of due respect to Alan, I made the point that there is no excuse for that type of human loss and suffering that was caused by the Shankill bomb. And I don't think anybody would subscribe to that view. The difficulty, however...
So Declan, it should never have happened. Is that what you're saying?
That it could be other ways. The fact is, in the here and the now, that past cannot now be undone.
No, I understand that. But are you saying...
And Republicans would not attempt to disown that.
Are you saying, Declan, it should never have happened?
Our focus now is about ensuring that we begin to create the conditions in which healing in our society can begin. Healing the hurt that has been caused to Alan McBride and his family. And Amanda Fullerton also shared the platform at the weekend. And I also made the point that it has to be about acknowledging equally the hurt that was caused to Amanda Fullerton's family and attempting to ensure that the future generations that Amanda, Alan, myself and everyone else in our society and our island share, that they in fact are bestowed an entirely new future, free from the conflict from the past, the hurt and the division that was caused, and that they in turn can live in a society which is much better than the one that we grew up in.
I'm not trying to be facetious, I'm genuinely trying to understand. Are you saying the Shankill bombing should never have happened?
Stephen, you are placing your focus on my remarks in relation to the Shankill bomb, and my remarks dealt with a much broader context within which I addressed the issue of the Shankill bomb. The problem you see we have at the moment is, if we take a single issue, then you have to start with the question, how far back do you want to go? And do we want an individual comment on every individual act or action or hurt that was inflicted? If we start that, then I can occupy the next 30 minutes of your show by taking you and the listeners on this show through a whole litany of instances that I would like to hear unionist politicians and the British government own up to. I would like to hear unionist politicians and British officials and their agencies address the killings of friends and comrades and colleagues of mine, such as Gerard Casey, John Davey, Bernard O'Hagan, Malachy Carey, Betty Fullerton, and I can go on, but I choose not to. What we need to do is bring our society to a point where everyone buys into the need for creating a new future, and that, we believe in Sinn Féin, can best be achieved by a truth recovery process, which in turn opens up a new phase of our peace process. Now, my big focus in the course of the weekend's remarks and in other remarks that I have made, and words are important because words shape context, is that we now need to begin to build a new phase of our peace process, and that needs to be grounded in reconciliation. And I believe that by listening to what we all have to say, listening to our respective experiences, building mutual respect, and having uncomfortable conversations about the hurt that was inflicted, that in turn then we can create conditions which will allow us to move our process on and create a better politics for us all.
But you see, what I'm trying to establish is that if the particular context existed again, would you advise another generation to do exactly the same thing on either side?
The conditions of conflict and war have been removed. And the difficulty is that whilst we have achieved that landmark development, we are still not at peace with ourselves. And that's very understandable given the carnage and the nature of the war that we all lived through. What we now need to do is to seize the opportunity that we have having developed a peace process that is now irreversible,
but
having removed the conditions of conflict and war, to now create reconciliation across the island and open up new opportunities.
But
my answer to your point is this. There is no longer a basis for armed struggle or war in our society.
Yes, but of course, Declan, that could change. Let's hope it doesn't. That could change. I'm trying to nail you this morning on your principle, on your point of principle, because you talk about war. And of course, there are many, many people that view non-combatants as people who should not get caught up in a war, even if they define it as a war. And I'm trying to understand your morality, your principle, and I ask you a similar question again. It's come away from the Shankill situation. In any community, if you even believe that there is a war, is it right to plant a bomb where non-combatants are clearly going to be killed?
I note that you made in your initial remark your wish to nail me. And the difficulty is that we all need to come to this with a very responsible approach.
Which is what I'm trying to do.
We can all, through the wrong choice of language, fall short of doing that. And in my opening remarks at Ballyvernia at the weekend, I quoted Tom Barry. And Tom Barry was a leader of the IRA in County Cork during the Tan War and subsequently in the Civil War. And he made the point that there was a need, and he was speaking on the occasion of the unveiling of a monument to Michael Collins in 1965. Tom Barry was asked to give the oration at that event. Tom Barry took an opposing side to Michael Collins during the Civil War. And he made the point that there is a need to end futile recriminations of events which had happened over 43 years ago.
But you see, I'm talking about the future. I am talking about the future.
What we need to do in this discussion, in this debate, is ensure that we come to it with a non-recriminatory approach.
But I'm talking about the future.
Sinn Féin's position is very clear and very consistent. The war is over. We have the peace. Now let's attempt to make the best of the peace for future generations by doing our very best through acknowledgement and attempting to solve and heal the hurt, to reconcile the divisions that exist within our society.
But Declan, you can't. Surely you cannot control the debate to the point where if someone like me is asking a question about what you believe in, you're reluctant to tell me because you are a senior figure within the Republican movement. And there would be dissidents, for example, listening to this, and they believe that their war, as they would define it, is continuing, which is why I'm just interested in your message to future generations if they believe they're involved in a war. That's the context of my question.
And I've made very clear that the conditions for conflict have been removed. We have political frameworks now in place in the form of the Good Friday Agreement and the St Andrews Agreement, which allows for political coexistence within our society, which gives due respect to contested political allegiances upon our island and gives us a political space with which we can build new politics. Now, in the process of building new politics, let's build reconciliation as well. Let's attempt to begin to heal the hurt. Now, that's the biggest prize.
Is political unionism engaging with you?
That we can pass to future generations. And I'm glad that you raised that question because the British government has remained absolutely silent in the course of recent years in relation to the past. They have dodged their own and fudged their own responsibility for facing up to their role in the conflict. My remarks at the weekend made quite clear that Republicans are prepared to face up to our responsibility for the past. Let that same question be put to the new British Secretary of State, Theresa Villiers. Let's hear from Theresa Villiers what initiatives she proposes to bring to Ireland with her to address truth recovery and on the part of the British government to face up to their responsibility in killings and assassinations of nationalists and Republicans and the arming of loyalist death squads and the killings of people like Eddie Fullerton, Jared Casey, John Davey and Bernard O'Hagan, Malachy Carey and many others besides. And let's also address ourselves to political unionism. political unionism who have remained silent throughout and who have failed to engage. Let political unionism now enter into this discussion and let them bring their initiatives to this discussion, because that's what Sinn Féin is attempting to do. Let's hear the big thinking from political unionism as to how they believe reconciliation can be built. And let them not give us the same old, that they need now to hear words, and when they hear words, they need actions. Let us hear the actions and the initiatives from political unionism this morning.
Listening to you is Basil McRae from the Ulster Unionist Party. What's your response, Basil?
Well, the first thing is Sinn Féin seem to be fixated on the past rather than on the future. When you look at how you might build a better place in Northern Ireland, you cannot divorce the fact that there's really aggressive stances taken on education, which worries a lot of people. People are looking to see if there is some way of moving forward or how you would build trust. But frankly, they are disappointed in a whole range of issues. And the difficulty is when you try and compartmentalise things into let's just deal with reconciliation, that people don't have the basis to do it. And I will just say that I don't agree that the political context was right for some form of war or terrorist activity. That was not the case. People that I talk to do want to move forward. They do want to find a way of working together with people from all backgrounds, but they do not want to see the past rewritten in some way that glorifies what was actually a sordid terrorist campaign. And I think there's an impasse in that. Now, I'm quite happy to engage with people, but...
Yeah, but that impasse, Basil, is there any idea from your community, from your party, as to how to break that impasse?
Well, my deputy leader has been to Newry to speak at a Sinn Féin conference, and I've been to Londonderry to speak at a Sinn Féin conference.
But what is your initiative to break the impasse? What is it?
The issue is about getting Northern Ireland to work now. My fear is that if you keep dragging up the past, if you go through every single issue, and I listen to Declan saying here's a long list of things that he would like to hear an answer to, all that does is pick the scab away from some really horrific things in the past. You cannot build a future if you're obsessed with the past. The way to move forward in all of this is to make politics work. By all means, have public debate. By all means, have open summer schools where people can come along and talk about what they want to do about the future. But only if people start to see things really constructively happen for the better will they be prepared to forget the past.
Declan?
Yes, and it's welcome to hear Basil say that. And I actually believe Basil is very sincere in his focus on the future, which I share as well. That's the reason why we need reconciliation in our society. But you correctly posed the question, Stephen. What can Basil and others do to break the impasse? But Basil, for example, could assist in breaking the impasse by deconstructing some past unionist thinking. When a previous deputy leader of the Ulster Unionist Party, John Taylor, said in 1993, and he said it at the end of an eight-day period in which loyalists had killed five Catholic people, and I'm quoting, in a perverse way, this is something which may be helpful because they, that is Catholic people, are now beginning to appreciate more clearly the fear that has existed for the last 20 years.
Do you know what strikes me this morning?
Killed at random by the IRA.
Do you know what strikes me this morning, Declan? You're going back decades ago.
I'm actually only going back 19 years ago. And the difficulty is that feeds an attitude and a mindset.
Yeah, but those years that you are going back, hold on a second, Declan. Hold on one second. Those years you are going back to choose that quotation. Of course, can I remind you that Sinn Féin were talking a very different language back then, a very different language, refusing to condemn violence. And for you to go back many years and take that isolated quote, I'll tell you what, I am going to remind you how Sinn Féin and people like you were talking differently back then.
And that is as may be, Stephen, and you're entitled to do that. The point is we've moved our society on. And in order to move our society on and get to the point where we can, in fact, build reconciliation, then we all have to step into the discussion. And it's not all just about republic.
Why don't you take the lead,
then? The British government role, there's a role for political unionism, there's a role for wider civic society, for the churches, for media. All sectors of society on our island have a role to play in what I called at the weekend the need for a national discussion on how we can move forward together to build a new future. And one of the elements of that discussion, I believe, needs to give way to an exploration of how we can shape a national strategy for reconciliation, because reconciliation in the first instance needs to be developed here in the North, which was at the absolute epicentre of the conflict. But the conflict in the North also extended to 26 counties, and our island in the course of the last 100 years has been beset
okay.
by conflict arising from Britain's role and interference in Irish affairs.
So
we need to find a way of putting all of that behind us, and absolutely, I agree with Basil, then setting a very firm focus on the future and doing our very best economically and socially to change the fortunes of future generations.
Somebody's going to have to take the lead here. And you talked earlier on in this initiative of yours about Republicans possibly using the word sorry. Still hasn't been used.
And we have spoken about this before. And the difficulty with zeroing in on one word is that becomes one word and one side and one phrase, which is sectional. The reality is that we all lived through the conflict and the war, and we all caused hurt in the conflict and the war. And now what we need to do is build a collective responsibility for how we move beyond that.
So people need to say it at the same time.
That means, Stephen, all sides.
So people need to say it at the same time. Is that what you're saying?
Exploring the right kind of language. Let's look at humanising language. Let's look at considered initiatives. Let's look at how we can, in fact, attempt to do what would be very, very difficult for families that are hurting. Families like Amanda Fullerton and Alan McBride.
Basil McBride, would it mean anything to you?
It was the legacy of their hurt. We have to try and do our best to solve that hurt. And if possible, and this is a very ambitious thing to do, to try and heal that hurt. But most definitely, we need to, and this includes people like myself and Basil, but it also must include the British government's responsibility.
Okay.
You set about the task of replacing division with new political
We're out of time this morning, Declan.
Human relationships.
Thank you very much indeed. Bonnie Run, thank you. Basil McRae, thank you. Alan McBride, thank you.